Thank you, Jesus. Put the confession up. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad God reigns? Aren't you glad He's in charge? He's got the last word. Thank you, Lord. Here you go. Before you sit down, let's go over this confession. Let's make a declaration, a good one tonight. Y'all ready? The good hand of God is upon me, and I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I cannot be cursed. Though my enemies come against me, I will not fear. Though the problems of life rise up against me, I will not be discouraged. God is with me. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what are you going to do? Not fear no evil? My God is with me. He is always with me. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, man, God's always with you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to God. I want to share something with you tonight, just keeping on the lines of where we've been, but a little different twist. You know, I've been so blessed because some of y'all have sent little emails to us with you took the confession, you wrote it out, you're getting it. Praise God. That's good. You got to keep it going. You got it. Whether you believe it or not, whether everything in your being cries out, oh, how poor is me, I don't think I'm going to make it. You better shut up and say, God is good. Yes. Right? Better get control, get your mouth, get your confession going, because you're going to have what you say. Hello? Yes. You're going to have what you say. I mean, that'd be like going into a restaurant, walking up and ordering, you know, a brisket sandwich, and they brought you chicken. And he said, what's this? And I said, well, that's what you said. He said, that's not what I said. See, it doesn't work that way. Well, you usually get what you say. Hello? You'd say, that's the wrong order. That's not mine. So when the devil wants to serve you something doesn't belong to you, you say, wait a minute. No, that's not my order. I'm a child of God. I don't want that plate of woe. I didn't order a plate of woe. I ordered a blessed plate. For the child of God, right? So we got to get our confession right. We got to get it. We got to get our confession. Jesus said, we're going to be justified by everything that we say. We're going to have to give an answer for every word we give. That's tough. So like I told you Sunday, I don't know what to do, but this say I plead the blood of Jesus when it comes rolling off the screen in heaven, what I've said out of my mouth. You know? I'm just going to go Pentecostal. I plead the blood of Jesus. Man, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I mean, it's bound to work. He's standing there, right? So that's my defense. I don't know what y'all are going to do. But that's my defense. And so, you know, every one of us, you know, life is life. Not making a difference who you are. But if you've got to get your confession going, you've got to start out your day. You've got to give it all through the day. You've got to keep it going, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. When you don't feel like it, you got to keep it going. You know, I remember reading a book by Smith Wigglesworth years ago, and he said when he got up in the morning, he didn't let his body tell him how he felt. He told his body how he felt. You know, and that's a hard thing to do when you're hurting. Hello? You know, it's a hard thing to do, but it's about getting your confession right and declaring what's yours. Because you're only going to get what you declare. Hello? And so let's go to the book of Isaiah okay, get your Bibles out. Because see, I'm kind of confused here where I'm headed because I got a lot to say and I'm trying not to say it till Sunday. Oh, it's good. Sunday's message is like a hot burner, man. I'm telling you. You ain't going to want to miss that. I've been preaching that all day. And let's go to 59. Isaiah 59. And let's start reading verse 16. It says, he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to it is his advisors, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and the glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You know, I heard a preacher preach, oh gosh, a long time ago, 20 plus years ago, on this verse here. And at the time he was saying that it really should say, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard. That the comma's in the wrong place. Now, I went and I look all over that and try to find every translation in the world to prove that, but I can't stand here right now and tell you that's really what it says, because I, you know. But I like it. Are y'all with me? I mean, you know, I move a comma over two words and put it, it makes all the difference in the world, right? And somebody bound to be messed up in translation. So, I mean, I really like that. But I can't stand here tonight and tell you that's really the way it was written out. It doesn't really make any difference. But when the enemy comes in, all of us know the enemy's going to come in. Listen to me, until you get to heaven, you're going to have to deal with the enemy. All right? There's no way. You might as well just go ahead and say, aw, because you're not going to get to a place in life you don't have to deal with the enemy. I wish I could tell you that. I've told you all that and told you, man, if I had the magic pixie dust, I'd throw it on you. Make everything better, make everything all right, where every day was Candyland, you know? But you're going to have some problems. You're going to be riding your motorcycle and your chain's going to break. We live in a fallen world and there's rust. Right? I mean, that's just, it's just life. You can't jump off and go to kicking and declare the devil's attacked me and whatever. Man, it just broke. You're going to have things that just broke. You're just going to run over a nail that's in the road. I don't know that the devil demonically and strategically placed that nail for you to run over it. But if you don't watch it, you'll turn your whole life around and you'll be saying that. Are y'all with me? I want to wake up in the morning. Now, I don't always do it. I'll admit it. I'm not going to stand up here and be a hypocrite. I don't always do it. I want to wake up in the morning and step outside my door. And every devil in the world shudders in fear and runs. But some morning I'm drinking coffee saying, not you again. All right? So I was praying about this, and I was just going over this. When the enemy comes in, he's going to come in. But like a flood, it says that the Holy Spirit, right? It says the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he lifts up a standard. Now, you remember when we went over Numbers 23 and about how God said when he put the blessing on you, and then his name is on you, then after God spoke the blessing over you, and he put his name on you? Well, I mean, I got to laughing about this. Because it's like, okay, the enemy comes charging in and the Holy Ghost just lifts up the standard. Doesn't say he just went to whooping. Right? It didn't say that he, you know, pulled out the Holy Ghost arrows and or drew the sword. It says he just picked up the flag and stuck it in the ground and said, This is God's. You know, y'all know me. You know, when I grew up, I've said this so much. You know, I always watched. You know, way back when I was watching Roy Rogers. You know, Amen. Oh Roy Rogers, you couldn't beat him. But do you know, if you go watch Roy Rogers, you know he was singing with his guitar sometimes and playing and wooing Dale and all that kind of stuff. But man, he'd get in a scrap pretty quick when the bad guy was there. I mean, they went to Fist City. You ever notice he never got his hat knocked off? They must have glued that sucker on his head. Never lost his hat. But then, you know, you got John Wayne, you got Clint Eastwood, and you got all these people that I watched in those days that represented good, represented like this is no. And they were always cool. Of course, it's the movies, right? But I always imagine it like that, right? That I mean, the devil comes in, the roaring hordes coming in, the snarling, the gnashing, the, you know, clove-hooded little nasty somethings or whatever. You know, oh, you know, I got a big imagination here. They're snarling, you know, snots flying. They think they're going to get you. And then the Holy Ghost just steps up and just sticks up a center at me. How cool is that? Right? Yeah, go ahead. Make my day. That kind of a thing, right? The look, the, you know, just the, and to me it's like, it shows how big God is and how little the devil is. Right? And how we get it so wrong. Holy cow, we get it so wrong. We give the devil way too much credit. But he comes running in. And so every day when the enemy comes in your life, or the situations come in, or the flood comes in, or just the happenings of life in this corrupt world we live in happen, it's amazing if you can just get this revelation that the Holy Ghost wants to just step up there with the standard, the name of God. He doesn't really need your help. Are y'all with me? He's not looking for you to be behind him. Of course, I would be. I'm the guy that would be behind him saying, yeah, you want some of me? Well, I'm looking around over the side of the Holy Ghost, you know. You guys coming over here, you know? I got to get through him first. I was always a trash talker. Still am. How big God is, man. It's amazing. It's amazing. He just lifts up the standard. He just sticks it up and says, no, this is it. And how in life, I'm saying to you, when we get our confession and we begin to get our confession going and we begin to get our confession, and if you haven't been declaring a good confession in your mouth, what happens is at first you're saying it out of your mouth, you're hearing it with your ears, but the rest of you screaming, what are you doing? Because you're used to saying, oh, God, today, you know, it's not going to work. I don't know, you know, because you're basing everything off feeling and emotion. Okay? So let's go to another scripture here. Go to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is go to 16 again. 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, there's a key here. The outside body, I mean, you know, it's going. If you hadn't figured that out yet, you know, it's going. All right? But the inward man, it says, is being renewed day by day. How's it going to be renewed? How's the inward man going to be renewed? Well, he's talking about who you are. I mean, you're renewing yourself, whether you realize it or not, with a confession coming out of your mouth. All that confession is based on the Word of God. All you're doing is just, I just wrote it up so that you'd be quoting the Word of God. That's all you're doing. Nehemiah 2 and 8 says, good hand of God's upon me. Y'all with me? So all I'm saying is that you're just quoting the Word, so it's renewing you. The Word of God has the ability to come into you, come into your soul, and begin to renew your soul, begin to renew the real you, the spirit man on you. Because I'm telling you guys, I am not this size. My spirit man's big. When I get to heaven, y'all are going to know who I am. You better hope that God gives us the same voice, because y'all are going to say, who's that guy? Look at that guy. He's 9 foot tall, bulletproof. And y'all going to say, Pastor? That's you? Because my glorified body is going to represent my spirit man. Are y'all with me? And he ain't going to have no aches and pains. I'm excited. One of the most exciting events that's going to happen in my life is Revelations 19, when we get to come back on the horses of Jesus, the army of God. That's one of the most exciting events going to happen in my life. And I am not going to be stuck in this body. I'm coming back. They're going to see me come. They're going to go, I mean, I'm going to be a riding and a whooping and a snorting. Man, it's going to be fun. Are y'all with me? But you got to, the only way you're going to be able to walk and sustain yourself in life is you're going to have to renew the spirit on the inside of you. Okay? Because if your spirit gets tired and your soul's tired and your flesh ain't working right, I mean, you're in a heap of trouble. Right? You got to keep your spirit man fed. You got to keep your soul in line with what the Word says. Because when you're doing that, then you're being renewed day by day. So the outward man perishes, but that's just life. We get older, but that doesn't mean that you have to get weaker on the inside. 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, I know all of us in this room can sit there and say, yeah. Because you probably have walked through some tough things in life and it didn't seem like a light affliction. Y'all with me? But Paul's saying, compared to eternity in heaven. Right? Compared to eternity in heaven, this is going to seem like a really light affliction. You're going to, you know, I mean, my goodness. Right? But the light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, verse 18. For we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So how do you look at things? This is the question I have for you tonight. How do you look at things that aren't seen? What are y'all all throwing out here? Faith? So I heard somebody say the word. But think about this. It's hard to not look at things that are seen. Right? I've always laughed you guys riding the bikes. The first thing I learned when I was riding a motorcycle was that you don't look at what's in the road. If there's a rock in the road and you look at it, you're going to run over it. No matter what the rest of you see, your whole body's just doing this, trying to dodge the rock. But if you're staring at it, you're going to run over it. You got to look somewhere. You got to look past it to the side or whatever, or you're going to run over it. Same thing. But when the thing is seen, what happens to us is we focus our attention on it. The issue, the problem, the you know, whatever the enemy's bringing in, we look at it. When we look at it, you get fixated on it. And then what happens is that's what starts coming out of your mouth. Y'all with me? So what we have to learn to do, if we're going to keep our confession going and keep our faith walk with God going right, we have to learn to look at things that aren't seen. Now, here's where I think we also get into trouble. Because sometimes what we'll do is say, okay, well, God, this is what I see. So then we're just basically taking what we know of the word. You know, like let's say, God, you said you want to prosper me. I need money. I need things are going wrong here. I need money. I need to get this going. And so let me win the lottery. I'm going to buy a lotto ticket. Let me win the lotto ticket. God, I just pray right now. I can see it. I can see me winning. I can see him making that. I can see him making that phone call. I can see it, Lord. Well, the thing is you're getting off base here because now you're telling God what to do. Now, the truth is he does want you blessed, right? He does want to prosper you. You've got to see yourself, what does a prosperous man look like? You think about it. Your mind's going. You're thinking right now, what does a prosperous man look like? Howard Hughes is one of the most prosperous men in the world. And they said that he would run around like a bum. Sometimes he wouldn't be able to tell you what he was. Right? So what I'm saying to you is that sometimes we don't, our imagery can be wrong. You got to watch yourself. What you've got to do is when the Holy Ghost lifts up the standard, you've got to say, Holy Ghost, lift up the standard on the inside of me and prophetically let me see what I'm supposed to see. The only way you can truly walk in it is what I'm going to call prophetic vision. You've got to be able to look inspired by the Holy Ghost. Like, let me just say this. If you were a prosperous person, okay, because you're thinking dollars in the bank account. But Jesus said, man, the widow was more blessed giving her three mites. But what would be a sign of a being prosperous? You're a giver. Joy. You see what I'm saying? You got to let the Holy Ghost inspire you. That's the sign that he lifted up, was the inspiration of what God wants you to be. You got to prophetically see it if you're going to keep your confession right, and you got to find that place of walking in that prophetic vision. Then you can see what's unseen. I mean, I don't think anybody tonight is going to argue that God doesn't want you prosperous. God doesn't want you healthy. God doesn't want you. I mean, all these things. God wants you, right? He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be full of joy. He wants you to be full of peace. He wants you to be walking in grace. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to whatever, right? So what are you seeing? Because what you're seeing is going to what's going to affect your confession. Because what you see, you're going to say. And if you're saying, oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, but with your eyes you're saying, oh, God, this is bad. I don't think I'm going to make it. Then that's really what's going to come out of your heart. Think of David and Goliath. What did he say? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? What was he seeing? What was Elijah seeing when he went up on top of Mount Carmel and knelt down and started praying for it to start raining? God told him to. So what does he have to do? Have to have the prophetic vision inspired to say, it's going to rain. Now, he had seen natural rain, right? So at least he had that to go on. Like, I got a big imagination. As a kid, I always have had a huge imagination. I can just imagine all kinds of stuff. I don't need to put on a virtual reality thing. It's going off in my head all the time, man, you know that. Although, listen, I this is a side note. Help me get back on track here just a second. I was listening to a person that was talking about this virtual reality. I've never put one on, never seen, you know, see the ads or whatever, or the whatever you call it. But, man, it hit me. It's like, I told y'all about watching that movie called Risen, and it just really affected me because they had that one scene in the movie where the guy saw Jesus when he was risen and the Roman soldier. And that moment the camera hit Jesus, and he was sitting there, man, it just impacted me, man. And I'm like, wow, what would it have been like to see the risen Savior? To just throw open a door, and you walk in there, and then there he is? I mean, whoo, man. Now imagine if you put a virtual reality on that was like you were walking down the street with Jesus. Think about that. You stick this little goggle deal on and you're walking and it's like you're walking down the street with Jesus and there's blind Bartimaeus and you're watching it. I mean, that'd be kind of freaky. I mean, it'd make you feel like you were really right there doing it, you know? It may change your whole outlook on stuff. So I could see some positive in that. Invent it. Hurry, get it out there. Now, where was I going with this? I told you I was going to get lost. Oh, okay. So it's like that virtual reality. You got to get the Spirit of God to come on you, and you got to get the Holy Ghost to be able to see what He wants you to see. That's what He's talking about. You can't look at the thing that's seen, the natural thing that's coming against you. You have to look at what's unseen, the healing, the, you know, the whatever, the joy, the peace, the, you know, whatever the thing is you need. You got to be able to get so to where you see it that you're able to sit there and say, man, God, you are so good. Look at that. It's going to be so good. When that all comes to pass, because see, it's going to start changing you. It's going to start renewing your soul. That's what Paul's talking about here. He says, you can't look at the things that are seen. You've got to look at the things that are not seen. When you look at the things that are not seen, well, he said, when you look at the things that are seen, they're got to remember they're temporal, and that means that they're subject to change. Everything that's on this earth, everything that is... the enemy could use and work against you, whatever it is, if it's you can see it, then it's subject to change. You know, it's like I've said so many times, when I get to heaven, I got so many questions to ask. I want to know what Moses felt like when God told him to go stand up on the rock and he was going to part the Red Sea. I want to know what was going through Moses' mind. It had never been done. He never heard of that done. He never seen that done. And I just wonder, you know what I mean? As a kid, you get the picture of Charlton Heston standing up there, you know, his hair is blowing in the wind and his rod, you know, and everything. You think it's how it is. But I just wonder if Moses was like saying, really? I mean, you want me to do what? You know, it's kind of part. I mean, a lot of times I think the prophets like Elijah and Elisha, I think they had this going, this prophetic vision thing going. Because, you get the scene of Elijah, he slaps his robe on the, his mantle on the water and parts it and walks it on dry land. Then what does Elisha do? Goes back and slaps it. Wow, it's the Lord God of Elijah. I mean, prophets are just kind of like that. They like the flamboyant, spit-flying kind of thing, you know. But for the rest of us, you know, that's not really what we do. But I'm telling you, that's what we need to do. We got to take it to that next level and get our confession right, but we got to get our confession backed up with what is the Holy Ghost inspiring you on the inside to see. And all you got to do is ask Him. That's all you got to do is ask Him. He's got to say, Holy Ghost, what is it that you want me? How am I supposed to see this? And He'll speak to you and He'll tell you, and you'll say, oh, okay, so it's going to be like this or that. And if you don't hear anything, well, just wait. He's going to show you in the Word. He's going to show you something else. He's going to show you something because He wants to get that impression in you, that because that's the sign. That's what He's lifting up. Is the reality of what God wants to do in your life. That's what He's lifting up. That's what stops the enemy in its tracks. Is the reality that you're going to operate in faith in and begin to speak out of your mouth that then's going to move that mountain, which is going to change that circumstance or that situation and bring about victory. I have always laughed and teased Brother Ivan because I have never seen anybody walk in this more than him. And I always have just looking for him and say, dude, you're just like in your own happy little world. Do you even see the reality of what's around, what we're faced with? I mean, I have seen him walk in there so many times, tears coming down his eyes, stand on the side of the mountain in Guatemala, saying, oh, we're just going to have houses. We're going to build these houses over here. We're going to get this house over here. We're going to put it over here. We're going to have this over here. We're going to do that over here. And the kids are going to come. His tears coming down his eyes, saying, we're going to have them all. They're going to come. They're going to get saved. They're going to get filled. The Holy Ghost. They're going to go out. They're going to change the nation. And I'm like, dude, do you know how much work this is? You know, I'm thinking like a contract. Do you know how many dollars we're going to spend? How many yards of concrete we're going to pour? And I've seen him, and I know he didn't know what he was doing. Walk right in the midst of the day. Okay, we're going to get this going today. You know, and I'm like, what? How are you doing this? You're living in la-la land. Let's get the reality, because see, I'm the guy that goes down and puts it all together and puts it down on there and says, oh my God, we're going to have some of your earth's concrete. You're going to do this. Holy moly, look at what we're going to have to have. We're going to have all this money to spend to get this done. We're going to do this. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, you know, you said you'd provide all things, and I have to start working it out. But he just walks into it. And he sees it. It's living in that prophetic vision. And I can tell you, that is what the Holy Ghost wants to lift up, and it stops the enemy. Just stops him dead in his tracks. So whether the enemy comes in and like a flood, the Holy Ghost lifts us down, or the enemy comes in like a flood, don't make no difference. There's a kind of a parallel scripture that over in the book of Revelation, I believe it's chapter 12, where it says that the devil comes out and he's trying to kill the woman, and it's one of those, you know, wild stories that's going on in there, and he says, and he spews water out of his mouth to kill the woman, but the earth opens up and swallows it up. Devil thought he had it all figured out, but he forgot that the earth may just open up and swallow it all up. Right? When we'd be screaming, flood! It's a flood! I need a boat. I need a boat, Lord. I need a boat. In the name of Jesus, give me a boat. Didn't think about the ground opening up and swallowing it up. See, that's where we get, I want to reinforce that. That's where we get in trouble. We're trying to tell God what to do. Because we're looking at it with our own eyes and say, you're going to have to do this and this to make that work out. When he's like, no, I'm just going to open up the earth. And we're like, well, I didn't think about that one. Yeah, because we don't think on the level God thinks. Right? And so we got to pray for that. So part of this, what's going on in life, is we've got to be praying and saying, come on, Holy Ghost, lift up the standard in my life and show me the prophetic vision of what you want. How am I supposed to see this to address this problem? Address this situation. Birth that prophetic vision in me so I can see the unseen. Amen? Amen? So whether you're, the negative, everything you look at, the glass is half empty or you're a half full kind of person, it doesn't really make any difference. You just got to get the Holy Ghost to just lift it up in you. Right? And then, boom, he just makes it happen. Because you got to remember, he's in charge. Everybody say, he's in charge, not me. Look at the person beside you and say, he really is in charge, not you. Amen. 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 Well, praise God.